When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
What is up, everyone, and welcome to another episode of It's Called Soccer. This is the podcast and show where we talk about everything in the U.S. soccer multiverse. I am Jake in London, England, joined by my co-host, future master of the universe, Tom. How are you, man? What's going on?
Not much. A little stressed, just trying to get myself packed up. I'm headed up to Penn State this weekend, and so looking forward to the move, but have to actually pack some boxes here at some point.
All right, we wish you much luck. Personally, moving is my least favorite activity of all time, so I feel for you on a deep emotional level.
We'll get through it.
Yes. And Ryan, our friend in Kaiserslautern, Germany, you're going to be visiting my neck of the woods this weekend as we go to Anfield to hopefully see Chris Richards. But before that, what's going on? How's your week going?
Good, man. Just trying to wrap up some stuff at work. I will say, just throwing this out there to you guys as options, if you ever want to look into getting a job for the government service, they will send movers to your house that pack your entire house for you and move you out. So the moment you've ever had that done, you will never want to pack again and realize that movers are worth every penny, especially when you're not paying for it. So I appreciate you guys, paying your taxes, because that helped pay for my move. Much appreciated. But yeah, man, besides that, just pumped to get out to London. Still trying to negotiate some tickets. Hopefully I'm going to be going out to the Chelsea-Tottenham match as well. So if I can knock out a little Chelsea-Tottenham on Saturday, hang out on Sunday, maybe go down to Camden Market, see if I can get some, knockoff jerseys and stuff that you can definitely find down there. And then, with Jake, head up to Anfield and check out Crystal Palace versus Liverpool. And then I feel like we have to get some sort of pod or something put together while I'm out there.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Live show in person.
Live show.
I don't know how many people will come to us at the, rundown London theater of something. I don't know. It'll be my house, but we'll give it a name.
Dude, there's enough street performers in London, man. We'll just do a street performance.
Yes. So if you want to see fire juggling and a U.S. soccer themed podcast in the middle of London, yes, come to Camden Markets on Sunday afternoon. But that's awesome. London is excited to have you. I'm personally very excited to go up to Anfield. That is a grounds that I've wanted to go to for a long time. I've been to some good ones, Craven Cottage, Loftus Road for QPR, Carrow Road this past weekend for Norwich. So I'm excited to see Anfield. Guys listening, I promise you we are not sponsored by the U.S. Army, despite what Ryan would have you think. But we are sponsored by Bet Online for this, so please listen to this so we can pay some of our electric bills.
Our partners at Bet Online continue to be the number one source for all of your betting needs and sports info. Find all of the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including Major League Baseball, the latest fighting news, and even next season's early NFL futures. With training camp right around the corner, BetOnline has opened up odds for team wins, division futures, and of course the Super Bowl. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, to get the bonus and get into the action. Bet online, where the game starts.
Okay, that was our ad. Thanks for listening. And also a personal touch. Please go to patreon.com/itscalledsoccer. That's probably the best website in the entire world if you do want to support U.S. soccer independent coverage. So thanks so much, guys, for checking that out. All right, let's start off and kick off talking about the big topic this week, which is Brendan Aaronson and his performance for Leeds United as Jesse Marsh, the gaffer, Tyler Adams, and Brendan Aaronson, the American trio, take their first 3 points against Wolverhampton Wanderers. Guys, I have to ask, based on Aaronson's performance, is he starting to break into that starting 11 for you and maybe taking away that McKennie or Yunus Musah position? Tom, I'm going to start with you because you're giving me a look.
I don't know. I would like to see it more consistently. And I also just don't know that Brendan's skill set right now translates perfectly to any one position in the team. What he can do well, he does really well. But does that do enough well at the U.S. men's national team positions to displace a Pulisic or displace a McKennie or displace a Musah, all of whom are some of the most important players to the team? I feel like it's really early to judge that. I also think that we have to remember that he's playing in a system that's almost specifically designed for players like him under Jesse Marsh, and he's going to look good in that system, whereas Berhalter's system is not the same one.
Okay, let's see what Ryan thinks. I might have something different to say.
What I hear Tom advocating for, like many other people, is going to be Marsh as the coach for 2026. You know, then we've got Brendan and Adams already ready to go. It's really interesting always hearing the conversation of, you know, who's in the 11, and everyone has their preferred 11s. But we're growing so much as a country in that I think it's perfectly reasonable to say, you know, the midfield, super crowded. We're not even talking about Gio Reyna yet in there. You know, he hasn't even come out and had his first appearance yet in the Bundesliga. So I think we're in a position to where finally we don't have just 11 people to pick from. If Arison's out there as an eight or a right wing, I'm certainly not going to be disappointed about it. If Wea is out there, could you imagine too, like the legs and the pressure of Aaronson coming in against a tired opponent? So he's got, you know, such a strength to his game with his work rate that if he wants to be a starter, we saw he had like 31 pressures this weekend. You know, he's just a gnat out there. Like the dude never stops moving and stops pestering people. So for me, I don't think he has to be in the 11. I think I'm perfectly fine with, you know, Gio in the middle, Musah, McKennie in the middle, or Aaronson as well. And then on the wing, kind of that same group, but you sprinkle in Wea as well. We don't have to fight, guys. We don't have to say, you know, oh, it's got to be this person. And, you know, I think that's an unfamiliar position for a lot of USMNT fans to be in, of saying like, all right, cool. Like we've got Aaronson starting this week. And in game two, we have Wea starting on the wing. It's a luxury that we're not used to. And you can see people struggling to kind of wrap their brains around it. But in my opinion, I try to be a pretty half full guy most of the time. And I think it's a great time to be half full and be a USMNT fan. I think Aaronson, like Tom said, fits the system absolutely perfectly. But I think, you know, Berhalter transitioning a little bit to, you know, a higher press system, in my opinion, Aaronson does fit that pretty well. So great. If he's out there, we have that as his strength. If we see Gio out there in one of those positions, I'd say a little bit more technical on the ball, but doesn't have the same work rate. So we're going to have a little bit of give and take, but I think the biggest takeaway is let's just be happy. Like, holy shit, we've got a bunch of good players and we can put out a strong 11 and have a solid five subs coming off the bench. We're just not used to it.
I mean, I'll make that case that that's the next evolution of the US team, is that we've now moved from a best 11 to a best 15, that there are genuinely four other people that deserve and could add value in our starting 11. And there's positions to take on every single one of them, being the starter, someone potentially playing a different way versus maybe an England or a Wales, depending on if we press high against Wales or maybe sit back further against a team like England. I feel like this Brendan Aaronson conundrum for us as fans is almost like the next level that we need to get to. Tom, something that you've said on previous episodes has been the teams that win World Cups are not the best 11s, they're the best 23s. And I think that is the, again, it's the next step that the US has to take. Maybe we're at a best 15 now, but in 2026, we might have a best 30 that we really need to trim down to the World Cup. Does that kind of ring true for you guys?
Oh, yeah. I really think when you look at the best teams in the world, when you look at England, there's not only these arguments about who should start, and there's 20 players who could start for them. There's arguments 35, 40 deep about this player should be on the roster, this player should be on the roster. You can only call 23, 26 out of 35, 40, 50 amazing players. The U.S. is trying to get there. Having 15 players right now that we are completely comfortable with, especially in the midfield and attack, is a fantastic problem to have. It only shows the growth of this sort of young core that we've built. And you're right. I think that by 2026, we're going to have a similar problem where the fights over those last roster spots are going to be intense and really good players are going to be left off.
Yeah, it's funny that you know we're actually on this topic, because it's just a conversation I was just having as I was coming off the golf course earlier today. Of course, got to talk U.S. soccer with some of the people out here and try to get them at least going to FCK games and, you know, at least introduce them a little bit. You know, if you're in Germany and you're not going to Fußballspiele, then I don't know what you're doing. Like, you got to get out there. And since I'm surrounded by all the Americans, like the guy that I was talking to, he's like, oh, but it's just so frustrating. Like, you know, I just feel like we should be, you know, dominant in this sport. And so it was nice to kind of lead him to like, hey, just a heads up, you might be a little bit shocked come the World Cup here in November. So it's this slow build that all of us that have been following, you know, week in, week out, qualifying, Gold Cups, anybody listening to this podcast, all you guys are all watching all of this stuff. But we're going to see that explosion of fans in a matter of like 3 months. That's super exciting, because we have that 15 to 20-ish right now that is pretty kind of dialed in. And, you know, it's going to be cool to watch a few people kind of see this for the first time. It's something that I'm looking forward to.
Can I take this opportunity as well? Because there was a moment when Alexi Lalas was on a sports talk show and was asked why soccer fans are hipsters to the sport. And his response was, sometimes early adopting soccer fans can be huge assholes. And in that respect, I completely agree with Alexi Lalas. So please, when people jump on this bandwagon in the World Cup and finally understand that we have a team that can compete against, like, this might be the first World Cup where just based on our starting 11 players, we are better technically than other teams. It might not be the Englands and the Spains and the Belgiums, but you could absolutely make a case that technically we are better than Wales and Iran. Are we a better team? Do we have a better coach? Maybe that's up in the air, but this is going to be the first World Cup where we have 11 players that are objectively better than our opponent's 11. Yes, we had Clint Dempsey, we had Brian McBride, we had Tim Howard, but those were superstars in certain positions and they were surrounded by squad players. So please, guys, when other people that don't know this team jump on this bandwagon in November, please be kind. Please bring them in. Please share your excitement and do not gatekeep US soccer, because this is an amazing thing that we have all found to be passionate about, and other people that haven't been early adopters like you can still take pride in that, deserve to be fans. But that is my, I'm stepping off my soapbox.
Can I build on that real quick?
Go for it.
There's a great comic out there from XKCD, which is one of my favorite sort of science-y comics, where they remind you that even if something seems like everyone should know it, every single day, on average, 10,000 people learn that thing for the first time just based on the fact that everybody, about 10,000 people become adults. So instead of someone doesn't know something like, you know, the U.S. is so amazing to watch and this young core is amazing to follow, you sort of be like, I don't know how you didn't know that. Everyone should know this. You should just be like, oh my gosh, you're one of the lucky 10,000 who doesn't know this yet. Let me show you something amazing. That's the attitude to take going into November is anytime you meet someone like that, be like, okay, you're part of the lucky 10,000. Let me show you something cool.
And who knows? We could definitely use 10,000 more listeners to this podcast as well. I'll say that. Sure. I sang in the game. Was this a Jesse Marsh masterclass, or what are we going to see this season from the other Americans, Jesse Marsh and Tyler Adams, on this Leeds United squad?
The one thing, as I'll be the first to admit, is I didn't watch a whole lot of Leeds under Bielsa, and just kind of picked them up at the end of last year. But that was one of the most exciting soccer games I have watched in a long time. And I mean, Leeds is going to be the game I have on the big screen every single weekend for sure. It's just, you never know what's going to happen. They can look a little shaky at the back, and, you know, but they're also going to go full press, and it's end to end action. It's so much fun to watch. So that was my big kind of like surprise from the weekend. And, you know, Marsh has experience with Salzburg as well. And when he was coaching at Red Bulls, this is right up his alley. So he's the right coach for the job. And if he had to cherry pick two players off the U.S. roster that have the most energy, cover the most ground, and have enough bite to match the type of bite that Marsh showed at the end of the match with the Wolverhampton coach, you can't think of two better players than Adams and Aronson. And, you know, we'll talk about it a little bit more later, but how important fit is for transfer, because you cannot have better puzzle pieces falling in here. Leeds is a must watch week in, week out now.
Oh yeah, 100%. And Adams specifically is the perfect player for that system, it seems. I mean, he covered the second most ground of anyone in the Premier League and was just all over the place. He looked comfortable passing. He looked like he's played in the Jesse Marsh system since he was 15 years old, which he kind of has. It's a really great fit for him. Marsh gave him his debut at New York Red Bulls. He made him the captain at times for New York Red Bulls when he was a teenager. It's a great time to sort of see him bringing players like that, bringing players like Brendan Aaronson, who do the things that Marsh wants to do high up the field, pressing, winning the ball back, getting in behind so well. So yeah, Marsh really did pick the best players for the job. And I think that Leeds fans are going to love watching Adams and Aaronson every week.
Yeah. My favorite story from the Red Bull days is that Tyler Adams, 16-year-old Tyler Adams, scored on Jose Mourinho's Chelsea in an exhibition, which the Red Bulls won 4-0. And Jose Mourinho did not last long that season. So I still say that 16-year-old Tyler Adams is the reason why Jose Mourinho was sacked from Chelsea. But yeah, Leeds is absolutely a must-watch this season, and I hope to see him get in more fiery spats with other coaches, because that just brought some drama to it. Like, the game on the pitch was great, and then the drama at the end was amazing as well. We got our money's worth for sure. And wee wee wee, that is a transfer alert. Pulisic may be on his way out of Chelsea. Newcastle United seem to be interested. We know that Timo Werner has gone to RB Leipzig, and Ziyech might be on his way out as well, but that is not confirmed. Guys, I just want to check in. Christian Pulisic, we constantly talk about his role at Chelsea, Tuchel's appreciation for him and in his position. What would you think about seeing Christian Pulisic at a new look Newcastle United?
Going back into my deep MLS knowledge of the player who probably had the best season ever in MLS history with Miguel Almirón. He took an average Atlanta team and made them look amazing. He was the best player in the league by far. And he's done nothing in Newcastle under a couple different new look managers. I don't trust Newcastle to do anything with talent right now. I know their new look. I know they have a lot of money. Until they can show that they can do something with all that talent, I don't want to see anyone going there and wasting away.
Yeah. So this weekend, for those of us that had to sit through that absolutely snoozer of a match with Chelsea, you know, I think people are really kind of starting to see the Tuchel system and not when you go from watching Leeds to switching over to watching Chelsea. I mean, it's night and day. It's such a different style of play. But, you know, the biggest problem that if you look at kind of what most of the Chelsea supporters were saying is they had nothing from their top three. And it was very interesting to see that some of the substitutes that Tuchel made when he brought in Loftus-Cheek, you know, because Loftus-Cheek, I think, and Pulisic came on at the same time. And one of the concerns was like, oh, shit, is he going to put Christian at right wing back? Like, are we going to see that again this year? And I think collectively we all went, oh, God, not this again. but to see him playing up top, and immediately Pulisic did what Pulisic does. He takes players on the dribble. He'll shift inside and then actually spring counters. It was the little bit of spark you actually saw from Chelsea offensively this weekend. That's why I think it's a no-brainer. I think this conversation we're having next week is that Christian started for Chelsea and was, you know, kind of a main focus of their offense. So I'm not ready to bail out yet, especially too, you know, I really want to see Christian playing in Champions League. I want him playing, you know, but I also want him getting as many minutes as possible. So yeah, he's going to have to fight for his minutes, but he's proven time and time again that at Chelsea, even though they bring in, you know, the Sterlings, the Ziyeches and the Werners, like still the one constant is Pulisic is the only one that they're getting production from. And eventually Tuchel's got to see that. And I think we're going to see a little bit of that this weekend.
That's some wishful thinking on your part. If you do go to Stamford Bridge, you want to see Pulisic on the pitch.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, dude, buying that ticket secondhand is not going to be cheap. But that's literally how confident I am that I'm going to spend £250 to make sure that I'm in that stadium.
It's putting it out into the universe. I like it. Confident approach.
For sure.
But it'll be a good game. Put your mind where your mouth is. Yes. All right. Let's move into the number nines then. There's a good amount to cover from this weekend review. Brandon Vasquez continues to score for FC Cincinnati. He's got to be close to the breaking into the roster for September. Jordan Pefok gets his second goal in two competitive games, his first in the Bundesliga for Union Berlin, their 3-1 victory over crosstown rivals. Ricardo Pepi didn't get the start, wasn't a part of the initial substitutions when Augsburg was down 2-0. Came on, I think, 15 minutes left to go in a right-wing position. So let's just kind of talk through the nines and where we're at going into the September camp, because we don't have that much time to consider these performances now going into that camp and eventually the World Cup. So, Tom, let's maybe just check in with Brandon Vasquez first. Is he starting to break through on that roster spot for you?
It's almost hard to leave him off, given the way we've argued for Jesus Ferreira this year has been how amazing his season has been in MLS. Brandon Vasquez is doing Jesus Ferreira better than Jesus Ferreira is doing Jesus Ferreira right now. That's a little confusing to say, but Brandon Vasquez is the best American striker in MLS right now, and it's not really that close. It's, what, 18 goal contributions in 24 games. He's leading the league in non-penalty XG for Americans. He's getting in behind. He's combining. He's doing not just target forward things, but moving dropping back in, playing on the wing, starting his runs and taking on the defense. I just don't see how you leave him off at this point, given how well he's done. And FC Cincinnati fans have been calling for it all year, and I think that people are starting to finally warm up to that case.
Yeah, Ryan, I'm not going to check in too much on the MLS player, but tell us about the one in the Bundesliga, Jordan Pefok.
Dude, biggest takeaway, we talked about it a little bit previously, is, you know, is Pefok going to fit the system in Berlin? And I mean, so far, he's absolutely looked the part. The biggest complaint a lot of people had, and deservingly so, was work rate. Can he press? We know how important that is in Berhalter's system, is not just what you do when we have possession, but what you're doing when we don't have possession. And dude, it was hot over this weekend. And you saw still in the 70th minute, Pefok, or actually as it's, we can have that conversation too. In his introduction video at Berlin, he did refer to himself as Sipachu. So you know, tough. I think he wants to be PFOC in the States, you know, because that's where his mom's from. And then he'll potentially go by CBCU out in Berlin. But yeah, some of those doubts we had for him, he answered. Everyone wants to talk about the Mexico miss, but we know that the dude can score goals clinical in front. If you haven't seen the goal yet from this weekend, cheeky bike. I mean, the cross to him was laid up very nicely. He really didn't have any other option but besides to hit it the way he did. But still, to have the technical ability to do so is really impressive. So if we can continue to see him building on those weaker parts of his game, then yeah, it's for me, it's no questions asked. He had good hold up play as well, something we didn't see a lot of when he was with the United States. So yeah, fantastic to see him improving all around. And you know, again, right fit, right system. He's going to be getting minutes. It's unfortunate to see when you have number nines like Pepe going to a place like Augsburg, who's going to, you know, continue to kind of be in relegation fights, and they're not going to have tons of opportunities in front of the goal. So, you know, I think kind of the lesson learned a little bit is going to be, you know, we want offensive players going to positions in which they're going to be in offenses that are going to create opportunities. But on the other hand, if we have a defender or a goalie, you know, transfer to a bottom dweller, I think that's fantastic. They're going to be facing more shots. So yeah, again, just the choice of where you have the opportunity to transfer for is very important to where you end up in the ranking for the USMNT.
I mean, putting myself in Ricardo Pepi's shoes, 20 million offer coming from a Bundesliga club while I'm at FC Dallas, it's hard to turn that down as a 19-year-old.
For sure.
Kid. But yeah, I'm definitely with you on Jordan PFOC. He's improved his pressing a bunch. Maybe he wants to be PFOC in the streets and CBCU in the sheets. Streets? Sheets? I don't
know. There
you go. Did I get that mixed up? You know what I meant. You know what I meant.
CBCU is the French side, language of love, you know, so maybe yes. It is. He's CBCU in the sheets.
Could be. we're putting a lot out into
Tom's
the universe
frozen
today.
Screen is perfect.
All right, so with Pepe not getting much playing time, personally for me, I feel like people are starting to step over him in the depth chart. Is he starting to lose his place for you guys? Because that's certainly happening in my personal depth chart of the squad.
I think for the first time it is. I really hadn't been there until very recently, but yeah, the more Vasquez starts to perform, the more PFOC starts to perform. I'm expecting Haji Wright to get off to a fast start here soon. Those names are going to start to really creep up over Pepe. And I just, you know, I do think Pepe's got the highest ceiling of any of them, but I just, this move might be more of a 2026 move than a 2022 move to get him started. So he's the youngest of all of them too. I think that's fine. If he doesn't end up on this roster, he's got a long career ahead of him, but if he can't perform now, we're going to need to take the guys who are performing now.
All right.
Yeah, it's definitely Jake. Yeah, just real fast. We've talked a bit about it. Center backs and forwards typically tend to be guys that develop a little bit later. So I'm not panicking yet. I did bring up, you know, when Demirovic did transfer in that, ooh, this wasn't a good sign. And a lot of people are like, this is a guy that scored 3 goals in the Bundesliga last year. Like, he shouldn't be worried. Well, now it kind of is coming to fruition that he was in the starting lineup. The good news is, and I guess, again, halfway of looking at it, is Augsburg is going to be a dumpster fire for sure all season. So if that is the case, if you're having people like Demirovic starting and they're not producing, eventually that's going to end up as opportunity for Pepe. So as long as Pepe, in the opportunities that he gets, grabs that and just takes off, I'm still optimistic and believe in the talent that could happen. So I'm not too worried yet. Hopefully, you know, it's 1 week, no need to overreact too much. Okay to be a little concerned, because I think, you know, we were hoping to see him in that 11, but you know, I think he definitely has the skill set to take advantage, because he's going to eventually earn the opportunity at Augsburg.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's turn our attention to Rangers in Scotland, because there are two Americans there as well. Malik Tillman scored the winning goal in their UCL qualification round. And James Sands, started as well. So he was on the pitch to watch. I feel like Rangers as an organization are going to be getting a lot of new subscriptions to Rangers TV. I think it's $10 a month. So if you do want to watch Malik Tillman and James Sands on the pitch, there are going to be a lot of diehard American fans that will be signing up quickly for that service. But Malik Tillman, this goal, he jumped over the goalie's hands, looked about 10 feet in the air. I'm not a scientist. Tom, maybe we'll go to you to get a more firm number. But this was crazy. I mean, he not only the goal, Ryan, you mentioned on your Twitter account how he was just having one-touch flicks everywhere. It was a joy to watch. So, Ryan, I'm going to come to you first. I feel like you have the passion with this kid, with Malik Tillman. Tell us what you saw on the field.
Dude, any German-American, you know, dual nat, I'm definitely going to be as their biggest cheerleader and hope good things for him. Coming from a pedigree like growing up and going through the Bayern system, you can tell that this guy has played with quality around him his entire life. I saw one comparison. I really wish I could give credit to whoever made it. But when you watch Gio's game and everyone's already sky high on Gio's ability, and Gio's 19 this year, Tillman's only 20. And you could definitely tell that the skill set is pretty similar. The first flick that we were talking about, it was in maybe around like the 20th minute or so. A ball from maybe 20 yards away was absolutely peppered to him. It looked like an Aaron Long-esque pass that just came firing in out of him with way too much pace.
Whoa, shots fired. But what did Aaron Long ever do to you?
What? No, just anyway, moving forward, you could just see it was on the half turn. He turned with the ball, flicked it between behind his left leg with his right foot, right into the path of the overlapping right back. And that is not something that you would typically see from a player, I think, you know, that is your work rate guy. Like, I would be surprised even to see that from someone like Aronson. It's a little bit of a different skill set. I love Aronson's touch, but I don't know that you're going to see quite that level out of it. So you see his ability on the ball sometimes still, you know, and it's the same complaints people had of Gio, is like when he doesn't have the ball, when we're on defense, the work rate's not necessarily there. He's not going to be that dog. But you can definitely see when we have the ball going forward, the talent is special, man. It really is. And then when you pair that with the athletic ability of the Ronaldo-esque leap to get up and finish that thing off and, you know, send Rangers through on, the, you know, from Champions League qualifying, it's, I don't know how you could not be excited about this kid right now. This is, we always talk about, you know, hey, 12 months from now, who's the guy that we're going to be talking about that wasn't really on anybody's radar? Sure, people were tracking Tillman, but it was dual national, young kid playing for Bayern's U23s.
We didn't think he was going to choose later, the USA for a long time.
Yeah, no way.
That was a surprise.
So, yeah, I just think that, like you said, Jake, you know, I think you're going to see a lot of people trying to find Rangers streams, whether they're through Rangers TV or alternative avenues. I think it's going to be another team that you're going to have to watch week in, week out, because I think this is just the beginning for Tillman. This is going to be a, you know, kind of like Weah when he had a chance at Celtic and he really kind of made that next level jump. Going from a big club, Weah at that time was with PSG, went over to Celtic, finally got minutes. Timothy Tillman's in that same, or I'm sorry, Malik Tillman right now is in the same situation. Going to get minutes. And if you look through like Rangers Twitter, he's absolutely a fan favorite.
Yeah. Tom, what'd you see?
I didn't actually get to watch much of the match, but seeing the highlight clips, the kid's just got sauce. He's just, my big worry with him after watching with the U.S. was, can he handle week in, week out physicality, and can he, you know, find ways to still affect the match, even though he's not the biggest guy on the pitch. And he seems to be doing that just fine, taking guys on, creating chances, being dangerous. That leap for a header is something I did not know he had in his toolkit. So that was really interesting to see. Tillman's one of those guys who I think is in a unique position. He does so many things well that Berhalter wants to see. And there are not many analogs in the pool who are not Gio Reyna's, like Ryan said. So I think if he keeps producing like this and Georgi Mihailovic can't find his form again, I would be shocked if he doesn't end up on the World Cup roster as the 26th player on it.
Yeah. If I could point out one other quick thing too, Jake. So a lot of people are focusing on work rate for him, and understandably so. But I do want to point out that during the Champions League match last night, that while I was watching, you can tell the dude is working smarter, not harder. So twice when the right back was overlapping and then Rangers did turn the ball over, the right back had overlapped past Malik Tillman and gotten further up the field. So yeah, he doesn't have to, you know, bust ass to get all the way back and cover for that right back. You saw him take about, you know, 5 to 10 steps to slide over to the right. And all of a sudden he's covering for that right back. You know, if we have someone like a Sergiño Dest, or if he's on the left side, we've seen the workhorse that Anthony Robinson is. All we need him to do is slide back into that position, cover those passing lanes. And so again, you know, the kid comes from such a high pedigree. You can see that soccer IQ. So it's, don't necessarily just all focus on like, oh, we don't see him, you know, covering, you know, 15 meters in the game, or like 15K. So yeah, all he needs to do is cover, you know, 7.5, but he's doing it in the right way. So I thought that was an interesting takeaway that I saw.
My big concern with Tillman is not his like run, his work rate and his ability to press and run. My concern is when he gets in the ball, is he going to get shoved off it by a bigger player? That's sort of one thing I'm watching for in every game this year. He seems to be doing well with it so far, but as he goes, can he sort of avoid getting little brothered too much as we sort of watch these matches play out? Because I think that was my big concern about him going forward.
Yeah, Scotland's a great place to find that out.
I was going to say, on the same pitch was James Sands, but we know that Malik Tillman with the goal is going to take all the plaudits. Is James Sands doing himself any favors to get back into the good graces of the U.S. depth chart?
It's sort of mixed reviews so far from what I've seen from Rangers fans. He did have a couple sloppy passes that led to shots on goal playing out of the back. But at the same time, he seems to win a lot of challenges, win balls back. He's a strong defender, and that's also earning him some praise. So I don't think that he's a fan favorite. He's going to be the best player on the team this year for Rangers, but I think he's going to contribute and be a solid defender for them all season long.
Yep. And as we talked about before, go ahead, Ryan.
Sorry, Jake, my bad, man. I was going to say, if you look at player profile that Berhalter wants, when he first came onto the scene as our coach, he, you know, that 3-0, I think it was, drubbing that we took against Mexico, where he demanded that we play out of the back and we can't, you know, play a little route one or go more directly. We've shifted away from that a little bit. You're not quite seeing that same style of play from Berhalter's system. So, yes, I mean, Sands absolutely did have three specific pretty bad giveaways. But if you look at him kind of from the athletic standpoint, he had the ability to recover on those. People may point out the Honduras game where he was hung out to dry. I'm not going to judge him on that match. Formationally, we didn't get it right in the beginning. He does kind of fit that style. If you look at a Brooks versus a Zimmerman, you know, Zimmerman right now is performing well for the national team. And if you're looking for that same type of profile, Sands could fit it a little bit. It doesn't necessarily mean that he's on the plane to Qatar, but the season is super early. I've had the opportunity to talk to a few people that are pretty close to Sands and his situation. And the one thing you always hear about Sands, and that you're going to love, you know, Berhalter's going to love as well, is the dude is a workhorse. So if you want that old school, you know, American style of the guy that's just going to want it more than you do, that is the common thing you hear from people closest to James Sands, is the dude, I guarantee you, having three bad turnovers in this past game, dude's going to put in work over this week and try to do everything he can. Still early in the season. Again, no need to panic yet.
That's what we call a soccer man analysis. He just wants it more. They just wanted it more.
Well, he's that guy that's going to stay after practice. He's going to do what he needs to do. The guy's work rate, he will give you everything, versus you have players that the moment they can go home, put their feet up and, you know, go turn on their PS5, they're going to. From what I've heard about James Sands behind the scenes, he's not that dude. He's going to work harder than the next person. So you want to root for him. You want to see him do well.
I sound like college football broadcasters right now.
Yeah. They just wanted it more.
First in, first out kind of guy.
Yeah.
Real lunch pail type.
He's got that dog in him.
Straight dog.
He is. Okay. Let's round this out with an American debut. Jonathan Tomkinson, JT, on Norwich City. The 20-year-old makes his professional first team debut in the cup match against Birmingham, which also had another American, Austin Trusty. I was at Carrow Road last night to watch that match, and it was very interesting. Quite a quiet game for the first 45 minutes. There were two goals at the end of the first half to Norwich, the second of which you should definitely find on Twitter because it's one of the prettiest goals you will see this month. Then Birmingham City get two back, including an own goal of Jonathan Tomkinson, but there really wasn't too much you could do with it. It was on a corner kick. Three people jumped for the ball. You would have expected one of them to hit the ball, and it just came to his head at the top of the six-yard box, bonked it, and went right into the goal. So can't fault JT for that, but congrats, Jonathan Tomkinson, on the debut. The game ends, and because it's an EFL Cup match, first round, it goes straight to penalty kicks. Josh Sargent, who was substituted on in the second half, takes the fifth penalty kick for Norwich and seals the win with 4-2 on penalties. So, guys, I know Sargent needs to build his confidence. I know he's gotten a lot of flack over the last, call it 9 months, from USMNT fans, from Norwich fans, for his price tag. Where are we on the Josh Sargent train at this point?
Definitely concerned not to see, you know, when I saw him not in the starting 11 over the weekend, I was like, okay, well, you know, I know they have a midweek fixture, so hopefully it's all, you know, they're rotating players. So to see him then not be in the starting 11 for the midweek was a little bit concerning. I did get to watch the handful of minutes that he had over the weekend. And he kind of looks like the same Josh Sargent that we've seen him at Norwich. He's the work rate guy. His first touch is pretty good. He's playing a little bit more like with more hold up play and a little bit more physical. As he gets older, I think we're going to see that from him because he's not small. I think that's something that's understated about him is when we're looking for big number nines, JQ did a breakdown of the Wales, of how we can beat Wales, and talked about playing down those channels and needing someone like a PFOC potentially over the middle. You know, I think Sargent has the ability to fill that role. We're going to need to see more from him, but you know, anytime a striker can see the ball go into the back of the net, it has to boost their confidence a little bit. So fingers crossed, this is the first of more to come from Josh.
Yep. All right. What else do we have to talk about before we get to final word? Any other players you want to shout out?
Jake, I want to get your take on Austin Trusty real quick. How did he look in real life? He's become a fan favorite for Birmingham City already. Yeah. He's a player I think could be in contention for a center back spot. Any thoughts?
So you can see why right away, because he is, I don't know how this happened in three matches, but he's essentially played every single minute for Birmingham City so far. And while Norwich City made 10 changes to their lineup going into the cup match, Austin Trusty still started the game for Birmingham City, even though he started over the weekend and played most of that game. Really interesting because Birmingham City play a three in the back system, but there were times when Austin Trusty was getting really high up the pitch, even though he was playing as a left-sided center back and you would expect the wing backs to push up higher. So I don't know if that was system or just the freedom that Austin Trusty has or the trust that he already has with the team to cover his position, but it was fun to watch him. The first goal that Norwich scored was somewhat of a deflection off of his foot, where he went to close down the attacker at the edge of the box. It hit off his foot, looped in, and was headed in by the Norwich attacker. It wasn't Austin Trusty's fault. It wasn't like he was slow to close down or anything. It was just, it did come off his foot and went into the box for the goal. But yeah, I liked what I had to see. Honestly, I was surprised, and I have been surprised even before I went to watch live, how much of a stalwart he has become for the Birmingham City team. I don't think any of us would have expected that. We all kind of thought that was just a way for Stan Kroenke to transfer him to Arsenal, figure out some funny money rules for Colorado. But yeah, he's become a key player for them, and he was a key player for them on the pitch. I wouldn't say like he was the best player on the pitch, but he absolutely deserved to be there and was one of the standouts for Birmingham City.
He's a name that I think is starting to creep up on my radar. If we don't have fourth center back that pops up, his name's got to be in the mix, right?
Yeah, I mean, if he keeps playing at the championship level and we're considering other players around that level, and like James Sands, for instance, you could probably consider the English Championship and the Scottish Premiership in a similar vein. But yeah, I also got to see Jude Bellingham's 16-year-old brother starting in the center of the pitch for Birmingham City, which I thought was amazing. But yeah, it was a good experience all around. I would definitely recommend everyone get up to Carroll Road to see Norwich City. And hopefully JT, Jonathan Tomkinson, becomes a more embedded person and player for Norwich City. But I can see Josh Sargent taking this as a confidence boost and starting to get more playing time as well.
All right, a couple players I'll just touch on super quick, Jake. Again, I think Alex Mendez not getting enough attention. Absolutely had a great game.
Give him that attention.
I think he deserves it, man. I mean, if we're, I'm not going to call out anybody that I think he should be called in over. Maybe a vibes guy that people have referred to. The talent is definitely so much better, and he was. In their first goal, the kid has just continued to take that next step each year. And again, still young, dual nat. This is somebody that Mexico could come for. I think he's a player that we need to be giving more attention to, because I think this year in the Portuguese league, he's really going to make a name for himself. He surpassed like 1,800 minutes last season, so you can't really call this like his breakout year. But again, if we're talking about guys adjusting to new leagues, okay, he adjusted. And he looks really comfortable, man. We know the talent that that guy brings, but his knock initially was, you know, is he physical enough? Does he do the defensive work rate? And he's proven all of that. So I'm really excited to watch him. Taylor Booth, unfortunately, subbed out at halftime for Utrecht. Disappointed to see, because he's definitely a player I really want to keep an eye on. Other side note, if anybody listening happens to know ways to watch Eredivisie games, please hit me up in my DMs. They have been very tough to come by, so definitely looking for a way to watch that. And then just a quick recap of goalies this weekend. I think Horvath, you know, for Luton had an absolutely great game. And on the other hand, there was one moment that was an absolute howler on a corner kick for Zach Steffen. So the only person getting minutes, we know that I'm the Ethan Horvath stan on this podcast, and he's getting minutes and showing out. So I want to make sure that Ethan Horvath, we keep an eye on that goalie situation, because just because these people aren't playing doesn't mean we need, or, you know, we forget about it. And then all of a sudden November creeps up real fast and we're like, holy shit, who's getting minutes and who's going to start? So, you know, I think Horvath continuing to get those minutes for Luton could put his name back up there.
November is now 3 months away, not counting August. So it's getting close. It is getting close. Yeah. Yes.
I think the one other group we should mention is Fulham. I think we should touch on the fact that Robinson and Ream both looked excellent against Liverpool. And Ream is a fan favorite at Fulham. I don't think he's going to start for the entire season.
Yeah.
But if Tim Ream is getting starting minutes in the Premier League this season, that's a name that we should probably be watching all season long.
Yeah.
So for those of you guys that didn't get Jake's reference there with Ream, every time he touched the ball, Craven Cottage was absolutely erupting. It was an awesome sight to see. Player profile, again, though, a little bit different. He is that distributing, non-athletic center back. It's really hard to get that image of him getting cooked by Linez out of your head. But if you just go back to this weekend, he definitely looked the part. And watching Robinson continue to take that next step, it just blows my mind that a bigger club, or, you know, a contender from the Premier League, hasn't come knocking for his services yet. I think it's only a matter of time.
Yeah, there's always been rumors of AC Milan, and I think most recently Manchester City were potentially interested, but I'm going to put this out there too. He is a workhorse. He gets up and down the pitch. Leeds United. Could they need a left back as well.
Fulham would never let him go to Leeds.
No, they wouldn't. But yeah, I also, just a little inside information on Fulham as well. I did a stadium tour with Brian from State of Soccer TV when he came over to the UK. And the tour guide, when we asked him, you know, who's a bigger legend between Clint Dempsey, Brian McBride, Tim Ream, like who's the fan favorite? The tour guide was honestly like, they are all legends in their own right. And especially right now, because Tim Ream has been with them for so long, through the ups and downs, has been with them Premier League championship, back and forth. He is absolutely beloved by the fans there at Fulham, has his own, I don't want to call it a chant, but something they say every time he's involved in a play. You can't get much more ingrained into the fan base than that. All right, that is our show for this week. Last words, Ryan, I'm going to you first for the last word.
Really just, it's so great to have weekend football back that we can watch. I know MLS has been going on, but for those of us that do live over here in Europe, the MLS games are just so hard to watch. So it's great for me on my weekends, wake up early, get out of the house, go get a workout in. But, even my wife mentioned it this weekend. She's like, oh, yeah, never mind. I know where you will be starting at like 1330, 1400, just parked. This weekend I had tablet, laptop, TV screen, and cell phone all kind of going at the same time. So it's just awesome. Football's back. Soccer's back. Sorry.
Use whatever word you want.
Yeah. So, yeah. And also, too, other quick shout out, because I didn't get a chance to mention it earlier. Please, please, please go check out Meg Swanick's video that she did where she went to go interview fans. And she was at the Leeds match live. Absolutely top-notch piece. You can't get better content than, some of the stuff that Meg's putting out right now. It's somewhat similar. I love what she's doing. I have tried without a video camera, but at least it's so great to go to these stadiums and go touch base with the local fans and kind of get some quotes from them. So if you really want to hear boots on the ground stuff, Meg's got a great video from the Leeds match.
It's well produced as well, I got to say.
Yeah.
It's a great watch. All right, Tom. Last word from you.
Last word for me this week is, for the last time I can say this before I head out, support local soccer. Find your local team. Have a great time. Tonight, I'm headed to the clash in the National Independent Soccer Association between Chattanooga FC and Cal United Strikers. A combined 2 losses between them in 35 matches this year. They're sitting on 30 points apiece. This will basically be the decision as who hosts the championship match for the season. It'll be a really fun time. I'm so glad I got the chance to spend this time this summer at home with all my friends doing Chattanooga FC things, and excited for one last run out tonight.
Awesome. Well, good luck on the move, Tom. We'll all be rooting for you so that you're set up in State College, PA by the next time we talk to you.
Yep. Next time I'll be set up completely in State College.
Awesome. All right. And my last word is just thank you everyone for continuing to watch us, to listen to us. You can catch a cameo of me on the Scuff podcast this week to review going to Carroll Road, my journey on the Greater Anglia train, and up to watch JT, Josh Sargent, and Austin Trusty. Thanks so much to everyone listening. I don't even know. I should just end it now. I've already messed up. This is the last thing you're hearing from me. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.